Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning?
Good.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I am Pastor Brian McDowell, and I pastored here in Hartford at Family Church for 6 years, and now in just 9 days heading out to New York, where I lived as a child, and going to be pastoring at a church near the Buffalo area. You know, you never know what God is going to do in your life. Amen?
Yeah.
About 9 months ago, we found out we were pregnant with our third, my wife and I. And we hadn't planned that. We had always said that we were just going to have two. And God blessed us with a third. But then I had to start thinking and praying about, Lord, how are you going to provide for my growing family? But when we pray and believe, God answers. Amen.
Amen.
And right around that time, I got a call from the assistant superintendent in New York. And he was like, this church at Medina really wants to talk to you. Is it something you'd be interested in doing? Would you like to talk to them? And I said, no. I was like, I love Hartford. I love where I am. We're on top of that. We're going to have a baby. It would be a terrible time to move. And he's like, well, I understand the baby thing and I understand all that, but would you at least be willing to talk with them? They really would like to talk with you. And so Whitney and I prayed about it and we agreed, and we went out there and visited a couple of times and really felt that that was the door that God was leading us through. And so a lot has changed in our lives over the last year, but God makes all things work together for good. Amen. And he knows the plans that he has for us, and their plans to give us hope, to give us a future. Amen. God is good. Well, thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning and to be here. And thank you, Pastor Dan, and to your family for your kindness over my time here as pastor. This church has been a blessing to me. And even when I first came, Pastor Doug, he had asked me about chaplaining with the police department and opened up that opportunity for me. And he also taught me a lot. When I first came out here as a young pastor in my 20s, let's just say I've learned a lot in the last 6 years. But that's good. Amen. But, you know, Pastor Doug taught me so much. Pastor Dan, you have. And I appreciate your friendship. One thing I love so much about Hartford and this community is that churches will work together. It's not a competition, but it's a collective goal to reach people for the kingdom. And God is blessing that, and he's doing great things, and he's going to continue to do great things here in Hartford. This morning, I want to talk with you a little bit about the subject of apologetics. This is something I share anytime the Lord leads me to. I've shared it at several churches, and I think it's so important. So what is apologetics? A simple definition would be it's the defense of the Christian faith. And why is it so very important? Can everybody hear me okay? Why is it so very important? I don't know if you guys know this, but in mainstream society and mainstream culture, our faith is under attack. And there are people who are trying to come against the things of God. And so it's so very important that we as believers, as Christians, are prepared to defend our faith. We have to be prepared to defend what we believe. In order to understand this principle of Christian apologetics, we have to understand grace. Grace is central to this subject, and it is the most important part that we're going to look at today. I was reading through some old clips of Our Daily Bread. I noticed that you guys have some Our Daily Breads out in the foyer, and it's a great resource. I was looking back at a quote in Our Daily Bread from 1997. Long time ago now. Doesn't feel that long ago, but it actually, it's been a while, right? But I love the way they put it. When they talk about grace in this article, it was in the September to November edition, 97. It says this, grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Think about that for a moment. I'm going to say it again. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. And as we look at this subject of Christian apologetics, we're going to answer a few questions this morning. I'm going to work through a few questions with you. But I want you to remember this topic of grace. Because grace is what sets us apart. Grace is what sets God's word apart as the all-sufficient rule of faith and conduct. We're going to answer a few questions that you probably commonly hear. We're going to answer, do faith and science conflict? We're going to talk about the reliability of Scripture. We're going to talk about, is Jesus the only way? Now, when it comes to apologetics, I could teach on this for several hours. We could be here until Tuesday. I'm not going to do that to you. But just to make the point that in a 30 to 40 minute sermon, I won't even be able to scratch the surface of this subject. So it's going to take you doing some work and some research on your own. And that's so important in our Christian walk. So many Christians today, the only Bible, the only word they ever get in their week is when they go to church on Sunday, and that's not enough. We have to be in our Bibles every day. We have to have a quiet time and a prayer time every day. We have to be studying His Word. As we grow in our faith, God wants to use what we know. He wants us to pass it on to others. That's discipleship. Disciples, disciple, disciples who disciple disciples. So I would challenge you with this too. Who are you allowing to pour into your life? A more mature, more seasoned believer. And then I challenge you with this. Who are you pouring into? You may say, well, I'm kind of a newer Christian, so I don't think I'm ready for that. Well, there's always somebody newer and fresher than you. In fact, there's people in our community who don't even know Jesus yet. And so as we work to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community, in our world, there's always people we can disciple, we can pour into. Amen? Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 we're going to start in. But in your hearts, honor Christ as holy. Honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. Why apologetics? Why should we bother to defend the faith? Well, for one, God's word commands us, tells us that we should always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us, for the hope that we have. We are to do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, we're to do it the same way Jesus would do it, right? We're not to be arrogant or defensive, but we're to speak truth in love. So let's jump into these questions. The first one I want to look at is, do faith and science conflict? Turn in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 55 And we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. And I want to start with this point that faith and science are not contradictory, as mainstream society wants us to believe. But in fact, they're complementary. Science is always changing its mind on things. You look at some of the extreme things doctors did, even just back in the 50s and 60s, or you start going way back, it's like, wow, we really didn't know anything. And if you look at science throughout its history, it's always changing, because humankind, we're always learning new things. Science has always been 100% sure that they're correct, until the next generation, when they start changing their mind on things, right? And isn't it funny that every time they change their mind on things, what they're changing to starts to align more and more with what God's Word says. It aligns more and more with the truth of God's Word. God knew what he was talking about. Amen? Imagine that. God knew what he was talking about. So faith and science, they're not contradictory. They, in fact, complement each other. Both often rely heavily on faith in something we cannot fully understand. How many of you have some questions for God when you get to heaven? Yeah, I got a lot of questions. Right? But that's okay. What does it say here in Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 8? It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Our understanding compared to God's, we have a minimal amount of understanding. God's understanding is so much greater. That's why we have those questions that we're going to be asking when we get to heaven. His understanding is so much greater. I like to compare it to, have you ever tried to explain to your dog, how many of you have a dog or a cat? Have you ever tried to explain to them why you brush your teeth every day? You could explain away and they are never going to understand that. You could explain how expensive a root canal is. You could explain, you know, about stinky breath. You could explain it all. They are never going to understand, because they're not in a place where they can understand. Why? Because you as a human, your thoughts and understanding is so much greater than theirs. Now think of that. That's the separation in understanding between two species here on the earth. How much greater is the separation in understanding between us and our Heavenly Father? How much greater is that gap? God knows all. He is our creator. He loves us. His understanding is so much greater. And sometimes when we don't understand why things are going a certain way, or why this or why that, when we ask these questions, sometimes we just have to let go and have faith and trust that God is in control. God knows what he's doing. Amen? We serve a God who cares for his people. We serve a God who cares for you and me. Next, I want to jump into the reliability of Scripture. And this is such an important one, because so many people in the world today are trying to challenge the authority of Scripture with complete lies. You see it especially in the university system a lot, where people will question God's Word and they'll say, oh yeah, well, you know, it's been rewritten so many times over the years and it's been changed and people had agendas. That's all baloney. It's all complete baloney. The Scriptures, both Old and New Testament are verbally inspired of God. They're the revelation of God to man. The infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. But I want to look at this from the perspective, before we jump into the faith part of it, I just want to look at this from a data perspective. And I want to compare to a few other notable works. And I want to talk about the original manuscripts we have, particularly for the New Testament, and compare that to some other notable works. So for the New Testament, original language manuscripts, we have 5,600 plus copies. Just to give you some comparison, you're probably familiar with some of these works. The work of Homer, we have about 2,200, so under half. The works of Plato, we have 49. The works of Aristotle, we have 7. Again, the New Testament, we have 5,600 plus original language manuscripts. Then when we look at the span of years between the oldest copy we have, when it comes to the New Testament, the max span is 90 years. Okay? From the oldest version we have to when it was written. Just looking at this from a data perspective, the max span is 90 years. For the works of Homer, it's 500 years. For the works of Plato, it's 1,300 years. And for the works of Aristotle, 1,400 years. That's the span of years between the original composition and the oldest copy that we have. As you can tell, for the New Testament, it's quite minimal compared to other works. Yet, people in the secular world, they accept those other works as accurate with no problem, with no issue. Yet they'll attack God's Word. And they'll pick on God's Word. When we can see just from a data, from a scientific perspective, it is by far the most reliable piece of work we have from ancient history. Then you bring in the faith part. Because we know as believers, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? But faith is such an important part of who we are as believers and in our Christian walk. But when we walk by faith, when we exercise our faith, we'll always find that the facts complement it because God knows what he's doing. Amen? You know, so many people, they just see God's word as a book of rules and regulations, and maybe some they've denied the faith or walked away from the faith just because of that. Because, well, do I really want more rules and regulations in my life? And I want to tell you today, God's Word is so much more than just a book of rules and regulations. God's Word is His love letter to us, His instruction manual to us. And it's not rules and regulations to put a burden on us. It's guidance for how to live a prosperous, healthy, godly life. If we will follow God's Word, if we will follow His commandments, then we are walking in His provision and His protection, and we are blanketed by that. Because why? Because God knew what He was talking about when He gave us His Word. God understands us. He understands His creation. He understands the things that we go through, the things that we battle, the things that we're tempted with. He understands the struggles. And He's given us an answer through his word. That's powerful. Amen? Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, all scripture. Everybody say all. I looked up all in the original Greek. Do you know what it means? All. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. God's word is truth. It is the all-sufficient rule of faith and conduct. And if we will live by it, when we talk about this faith part of it, when we live by God's word, he'll show himself to us in a big way. He'll show up in our lives. If we'll follow his word, let the testimony that is a result of that be your proof. And there's so much power in a testimony. If you've ever been on the mission field, one of the first things they tell you to do when you're preparing to go out and share your faith, what do they tell you to do? They want you to write down your testimony. Why? Because a testimony is so important. And nobody can argue with your testimony. It's your experience in your own life. I would encourage you, don't just do that exercise if you ever go out on the mission field, because we're in a mission field here today, right where God has us. So if you've never taken the time to sit down and just write your testimony out, write out what God has done for you in your life, take time to sit down and write that out. Write out how you came to know Jesus, how he changed your life. Write out the things that he's done for you over the years, the prayers that have been answered. You may say, oh, well, my story is kind of boring. I mean, I was one of those kids who grew up in church and we went to every service, every time the door was opened. And that's about all there is to my story. I hear people say that all the time. But you know what? If you will take time to go to your prayer closet, and to just sit and pray and reflect and have time between you and God, he'll bring to your remembrance so many great things. And everyone has an awesome testimony that is worth sharing. So just go to that prayer closet, go to that prayer time, go to that time between you and God, and just ask him. Lord, help me to remember. And he will bring those things to your remembrance. Everybody has a story that is worth sharing. So is Jesus really the only way? You know, in a society that talks about tolerance all the time, it may sound like a bit of an intolerant thing to say that Jesus is the only way. But in fact, this is the truth of God's word. And did you ever notice that the people who talk about tolerance so much, they just beat that drum all the time about tolerance, but as soon as you disagree with them, then there's not much tolerance left, right? Church, it's important that we stand on the truth of God's word. And the truth is, Jesus is the only way. Turn in your Bibles to John. John chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In a world that's trying to look tolerant and say, oh, well, there's multiple ways and there's multiple paths and everybody's just on their different their different route to the same destination. Jesus completely slams the door shut on that. He makes it so clear. These are his words. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, nobody comes to the Father except through me. So yes, Jesus is the only way. I want to circle back. I started out by saying one of the most important aspects of this principle of Christian apologetics is grace. I'm going to read that quote again from Our Daily Bread because I think it's so good. And if you didn't write it down before, I encourage you to write it down now. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is what sets Jesus apart. It's what sets Christianity apart. Because in all other religions in the world, all those false religions, they always say, in order to be on the right path, you have to do something to earn that. Every false religion in the world says that. That in order to be right or on the right path, you have to do something. You have to do some sort of work. It's a works-based thing to be on the right path. But Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. In Christianity, in our walk with the Lord, there's nothing we did to deserve what Jesus did on the cross for us. There's no work we can do to earn the grace that he provides to us. It's a free gift. The only thing we have to do is make the choice to accept it. To accept his free gift of grace in our lives. That's what sets Jesus apart. Grace. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. The work is already done. The work has been done on the cross. We're coming up on the Easter season here and Resurrection Sunday. We're going to celebrate that he's risen. He's alive. We serve a God who is alive. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. We serve a God who is alive. You know something? Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. Jesus is alive. That's exciting, church. Jesus is alive. And yes, he is the only way. But the price has already been paid. And so this Easter season, when we celebrate the resurrection, we also have to remember why he came. To die on the cross for our sins. To be that ultimate sacrifice. Because yes, God is love, but God is also just. So there had to be atonement for our sin. The sin that separated man from God. And the answer was Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins. I want to take some time as I prepare to close. I just want to give everyone the opportunity. I know most of you here are probably seasoned Christians. Maybe there's somebody here who it's your first time in church, or maybe there's somebody here who you were serving the Lord at one time and you've fallen away and you want to recommit. I want to take some time, if everyone would just bow your head. Close your eyes. And whether you want to make a decision for Christ for the first time, or whether you say, you know what, I was serving God at one time, but I've kind of turned my back on the things of God, and I'd like to get back to keeping my focus, to keeping my eyes on Jesus. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every day. Sometimes we mess up, even after we've made the decision to follow Jesus. Sometimes in our lives, we mess up. We sin. But if we are quick to repent of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to give everyone the opportunity this morning. If there's anyone here who wants to make a decision for Jesus, you say, I want to follow Jesus from this day forward. I want to accept that free gift of His grace in my life. If you're here and you want to do that this morning, just slip up your hand so I know who we're praying with. I see those hands. Okay. There's at least a couple here this morning. So what I want to do is I want us all to pray this together because we want to support those who are or maybe doing this for the first time. We just want to support our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of those sins. Thank you for your gift of grace. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And so I accept that free gift of grace now. I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're here and you're one of the couple of people who raised their hands, the next steps, I encourage you to let one of your leaders in this church know about the decision that you made, about the commitment that you made to follow Jesus. And they will tell you the next steps. They'll give you the resources you need, and I'm sure you guys offer a lot of great resources and ministries for new believers. And so, but share that decision with somebody. Share that decision that you made for Christ. And God is going to do incredible things through you as you are a new creation in Him. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity to come and to share with you. This church has been such a blessing to me and my family, like I said, over the last 6 years. I'm sorry that my wife couldn't be here today. She was up all night with a newborn, and so quite tired, but we're so grateful for you guys and your friendship, and we know that that's going to continue, even though we'll be geographically farther away, that friendship will continue. So thank you so much. Yeah.